All right, sound check. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good, okay. I love that I could tell who was listening closely to the gospel because their face went funny at one point. Like, did I really just hear that? Is that what Jesus said? That does not make sense. Well, I'll get there, maybe. But let me first ask you a question. Have any of you ever fallen victim to a scam? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because, to be honest, it's very embarrassing if it ever happens. And so you are not very likely to tell even those in your family because you're so embarrassed that it happened to you. But did you know that just in 2024, in the U.S., households lost $12.5 billion to scammers? Isn't that wild? The average victim was swindled out of $3,520, which I don't know about all of you, but I can't afford that much, just gone, right? And that's on average. That's wild. Who are these people? And I don't mean the people who get scammed, because it can happen to any of us. I mean, who are these people who are doing the scamming? Do they have no dignity? No self-respect? Do they not share our desire to live in a world that is just and kind? Have they no fear of God or love of neighbor? Or perhaps have they so given up any hope that there is such a world possible that they just want to get the most they can by any means they can? Of course, such people have been around since there were people. Both heroes and villains in scriptures play these games. Have you noticed that? There are very few perfect or near perfect people in the Bible. Cain was so resentful that he killed Abel. And that goes all the way back. Jacob, who is one of the most revered in scripture, Jacob tricked his father, who was blind, took advantage of someone who had a disability, in order to trick his father that he was in fact his brother Esau so that he could get his blessing. David had Uriah killed on the front line of battle so that he could have Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. This morning we hear through the prophet Amos that people were cheated by false balances. Today, you know, you all go to the gas station, right? You who do not have one of those awesome electronic vehicles, you go to the gas station and you, of course, you groan to see how much it costs, but you also trust, don't you, that when you put 10 gallons in your car, it is actually 10 gallons? You don't even see it, do you? And yet you trust that 10 gallons of actual gas, up to 10% ethanol, go into your car, right? Because there are people who examine it. There are inspectors keeping the gas stations and the oil companies honest. At least we hope. We live in a world that is a constant push and pull with those who would take advantage of others for selfish gain. And the guardrails we put up to have a civilized society. Guardrails that protect us from self-interest in excess, selfishness at the expense of others. And then here we have the final words of our gospel this morning. You cannot serve God and wealth. The parable seems to suggest that, yes, we should be wise with our resources, as confusing as the parable is. It does seem to say that we should be wise, we should be shrewd about how we use the resources that are in our possession, but don't make wealth the goal. It is merely a means to an end. We all live in a complicated world. And we cannot simply remove ourselves from the complications of this messy world, from the games that people play in order to get ahead. Oh, the game the manager in that parable played. Did you notice that? It wasn't even consistent from one debtor to the next. But he played the game and he played it well, so much that he is commended by his master. What a doozy of a parable. Back a few years ago, it might have even been a whole decade ago, the Synod Youth events, actually, their whole theme was based on the parables of Jesus. And the name of the theme that year was, wait, what? Because whenever you dive into a parable, you realize that it's actually more complex than you originally realized. It is complicated and messy. Is Jesus really saying that the manager is to be commended for cheating his boss on his way out the door? That he is to be commended by gaining friends, by dishonest wealth? Or is it possible that in this parable, the rich man is not simply to be replaced with God in our understanding of the parable? But rather, is Jesus merely demonstrating how the world we are all in actually works? For unlike many of Jesus' parables, Jesus does not begin by saying the kingdom of heaven is like. Perhaps, just maybe, Jesus is acknowledging that we live in community that is demanding that we encounter injustice and selfishness and scammers. They are all around us. Beware. Recognize the game that is being played. But do not be defined by it. Do not allow yourself to be corrupted by it. No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. As complicated and as messy as this world is, remember your North Star. Remember your guiding light, your purpose, your call, and serve that as best you can. You might then wonder, well, what is your purpose, your call? What is our purpose? What is our call? Well, I'll admit that I don't quite know what your particular purpose or call is. You are uniquely gifted. And a call has a way of shifting over time, even day by day, as you have experiences and encounters. And your call might well be as complex as you are, and as multifaceted as life demands. But I do have an idea of what our call is. Our call here at the God is Love Church. We are called to tell the good news that God is love in word and deed. Thanks be to God. And I hope, I sincerely hope that whatever your individual purpose is, it is consistent with our call here at Epiphany. I hope that despite the noise of this world, the constant haranguing, belittling, divisions, violence, God is calling you back, recentering you on your purpose. Reminding us of our mission. These past few weeks have been between the senseless killing of school children and a conservative Christian activist, between the silencing of speech and the killing of immigrants and the constant vitriol we throw at each other on social media. I'm sure there are as many perspectives on all of this as there are people in this sanctuary right now, plus those who are joining online. Don't get distracted by the noise, by the fear-mongering, that you lose your purpose, your call, your reason for living and loving. We are called to be faithful. Faithful with the relative little we feel that we have. To care for others so well as we can. We are called to be faithful with this ministry that we share here at Epiphany, and there may well be times when we feel lost, distant from God and from God's people. But may God draw you back in, re-energize you, refocus us on who we are, on whose we are, and who we are called to serve. In Jesus' name.